So what do you get when you cross a wizened Gen Xer with a proud millennial?
Here we go.
A mixtape filled with
Britney Spears songs?
Or maybe a rotary landline telephone
that takes selfies?
Maybe a Tom and Jerry cartoon.
Or Tom and Jerry each get participation trophies?
No, 21st century solutions.
According to Kaylin and Ramsey.
It is June 1st, 2022. Hey, Kaylin, how you doing?
I'm doing good. We are at Mammoth Cave National Park, actually parked at camped at a Thousand Trails. It's inside of the park, which is pretty cool.
Nice.
This is our first time actually getting to stay inside a national park since we are so giant and do need our amenities.
but are you mammoth?
Exactly.
Why they called it Mammoth Cave, because it's big enough for you.
Yes, exactly. And it is hot in Kentucky this week. It has been 90 degrees the last 3 days or above. It feels even hotter when you're out there with Northwest girls not used to the humidity. But we are loving it here, and we're going to do some historic cave tours this weekend. So we are enjoying Kentucky so far. What about you, Ramsey? How are you doing?
Excellent. I'm okay. Well, I'm upset, actually. I kind of have been upset since last week. I imagine many people have been. You know, we had a really terrible shooting in Texas. It's tragic, and my heart breaks for everyone involved. And my heart also breaks for how much people have been arguing over what should be done about it. You know what I mean?
I do. I absolutely do. I feel the same. There's just no words to describe as a parent how just sad and upsetting it is to think about those poor parents who got that phone call. And, you know, I'm sure every parent at that school district was hoping it wasn't their kids, but 19, you know, parents, well, 38 parents found out that it was their kids. And my heart has just been broken. And then, you know, then it seems like it was only a few hours before the social media posts changed from, you know, being heartbroken and sad and, you know, thoughts and prayers to the families affected, to turning to just content for each other and arguing and fighting about what's the right answer and what's the wrong answer. And, yeah. And it makes me sad. For our country.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, what really comes to my mind is just why is our nation so polarized that it just always has to be us versus them and right versus left and I'm right, you're wrong, blah, blah, blah. I mean, are we really that far apart as people? Can we not honor the dead and grieve with the families, like without immediately rushing to our political positions? It makes me crazy. Can't we look for things that we can agree on instead of just fighting these same entrenched battles all the time?
It seems like everything that comes up is always a battle. It doesn't just have to be a mass shooting. There's, you know, other things that that have this same response. You know, we've got Roe versus Wade in headlines for the last several weeks, and that seems to have died down now. That the shooting is what everyone's talking about. But you know, there's just everything seems to be a fight these days. And why do you think people look at the same situation and just see such completely different things?
Yeah. Well, I think that there is so much information out there now in terms of being published on the web through so many different channels and different venues, that it's gotten far beyond like the human brain's ability to process all of it. And so there's way too much information. There's not enough wisdom. And then you've got aggregators of information. So you've got news media or talking heads on TV, or you've got pundits, or you've got bloggers, or you've got people like us on podcasts. And the best that they can do, or maybe the worst, or what they do is put together narratives first and foremost. And so, you know, defining the narrative as like the story behind the story, like the thing that you want people to get out of it. But it's like people handpick the information that they focus on that they're going to feed into that narrative. And it just doesn't seem like very many, if any, sources are making legitimate attempts to try to find the real truth or the real story. But instead, they choose their narrative ahead of time and they find the information that fits that. And it seems like everyone has a bias, you know, and I think only some people admit that they have a bias. Like, I don't think that anybody does not have a bias. And so, you know, when you get to this notion that news is a product, or even, you know, telling stories or getting, you know, social media posts across and getting eyeballs to look at it or people to click on it, if that's a product, then you're treating it like a, like any other business would create a product, and that would be for a target market. And you feed your target market what it is that people, that you think that they want. And so it's no longer about a balanced truth. Now it's about serving that narrative, that slice, that thing that people already believe and already want to believe. And then if people are not sort of conscious of it, then they just feed into their own confirmation bias. Like, people look for what confirms it. So, I mean, what do you think? Do you see any sources of news or information out there that are actually non-biased, or does it seem like it's just all sort of from one perspective or the opposite perspective, that it's all sort of heading in one direction? I mean, that's tough.
Yes. And, you know, I actually have taken a step back from news in general, just because I did feel like there was no source of news that I could find that was not steering me in one direction or the other. You know, it's easy to put up Fox News and CNN as kind of those big headers for your news, and they report two very different agendas, I would say. Mm-hmm. It has nothing to do with what is actually going on or what the problem is. It's more about what the opinion is and what their audience that they already have is going to them for that news, and they're going to just continue to reinforce those ideologies or biases. And so I really have taken a step back from that, as well as social media, because social media is no different. Once you have looked at one article that, has a certain opinion or bias to it, it does seem that those same things pop up in your feed over and over. And I would rather get good information, and it just doesn't feel like there is good information out there. I do know that there are a lot of journalists who feel like their business, their career, their life has lost integrity, and I feel for them because they're working for these networks that push their agendas, and you know, I know someone who has left the mainstream media to do her own thing, just to get away from that and be able to report news without any kind of opinion or bias to it, and just really get down to the facts. And as someone who, you know, is at home and doesn't know all these ins and outs of where to look for the right news, I don't even know where that's at. I know I'm not alone, and there's probably listeners too who feel the same way. Like, where do I go to find the facts? And it just feels like it's not out there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and what do you think it does? Like, what do you think it was doing to you? What do you think it does to other people when we just get bombarded with one narrative or sort of similar narratives, and we don't pick our head up and look around to see what else is out there?
I think it breeds hate and intolerance for each other, and you know, just sticking with what you know, and what you know isn't always right. I grew up in a small town, in a family where, you know, opinions were all the same for everybody in the family. And that just never, as I got older, never sat right with me. I am a very headstrong person. I don't like to have opinions formed for me. But I also am very middle of the road on things. And I feel like when I get on social media, there's not a place for me. If you're not with them, you're against them. And if you're not with the others, you're against them as well. But even though I really do think that once that I sit down and I read my friends' posts, they could be, you know, on the far right or on the far left. And if you read between the lines, they really are saying the same thing, but they're just saying it in a different way that they just cannot hear it from the other side. And it leaves me feeling very lost. And I would say that's even part of the reason why Jack and I chose to start a different life and a different lifestyle, is because we felt very trapped in those opinions and the boxes that we were and our family were supposed to fit into. And it's been really great to be able to connect with people who also have very middle of the road and our opinions and bias or non-biases, and able to have constructive conversations. And it just doesn't feel like anything's constructive anymore. It's all just deconstructive. And Ramsey, you've talked about this before, that you like to build things. And yeah, really, we've deconstructed it, people. Let's reconstruct it in a good, healthy way that works for everybody. Do you feel the same way?
Yeah, you know, I get this image sometimes in my mind, right, of groups of people standing apart across from each other, and you've got somebody on the right who is screaming at and who is screaming at and yelling at and making fun of the, you know, blue-haired people that have lots of piercings, and saying, "Oh, crazy liberals." And then you've got a picture of a person who's standing kind of on the left, and they're looking at and screaming at, "Oh, you crazy MAGA hat wearing people." But what is also in that image is a very normal, reasonable person, you know, standing on the just over the left side of the line, who sees the person on the right yelling and screaming at them and calling them names and internalizing it that way. And the same in the reverse. You know, somebody standing over on the right side of the line getting berated by the left, or the left side of the line getting berated by the right. you know, and I just don't see how either one of those is productive or helpful, because, you know, we're screaming at caricatures of people. We're not even screaming at the at real people. Or, you know, everybody, every side of an issue has some fringe opinions, and even fringe opinions are justified. Like, I'm not even trying to say that fringes are bad. I'm just trying to say that people are sort of pointing at and blaming caricatures of people that they don't understand, that who probably don't even exist. The caricatures don't even really exist necessarily, and that's who they're yelling at. But it's normal people, it's everyday people, it's reasonable people who are sort of receiving and internalizing that. And it just seems to me like when we do that, oh, real funny, but it's, we're losing sympathy and we're losing understanding and we're losing the complexity and the nuance of the real people that are in the community with us, that if we just took the time to try to understand where they're coming from, they probably would not be nearly as different as we think, that we probably have a whole lot more in common than we have different. And it, you know, when we do that, we just get further away from solutions because we get defensive, right? So when somebody on the other side is yelling at us, then we're just going to get more entrenched in the sort of the territory that we feel like we need to defend.
Right.
And yeah, I mean, it's just, it's rough. So it's sort of, it just begs the question, what else can we do? What's the alternative? There's got to be a better way. There's got to be a way that people can get to know and understand each other. I mean, you've been on the road. You've been meeting all kinds of people. Like, what's it been like for you? Like, how do you have conversations with people that you can get a vibe and you can tell, like, okay, these people probably think a lot differently than I do. Like, how do you enter into conversations like that?
Well, you know, it's funny because we actually have absolutely, I would never say anything to anyone when they bring up their opinions, because that's just not really who I am. But in private conversations, Jack and I have had those conversations. And I actually think that being on the road has made me more open to other people's lifestyles and the choices that they make in their life. You know, there was, I, as I've said on the podcast before, I'm not religious, and an organized religion has just always been something that was hard for me. But I have had this eye-opening experience on this trip that that people who are religious or have religious backgrounds or whatever their current story is doesn't make them different than me. It just makes them have different values than I do, and even those values are still the same. They just put it in a different manner than I do. And so I myself have found myself much more open to, you know, having those conversations with people. You and I have that conversation a lot because we do have mm-hmm. different takes on it. And during COVID and during the elections in 2016 and in 2020, I just felt very lost and very, I don't want to say hostile against people who were were fanatics in one way or the other. Like, it just makes me feel like, am I wrong because I don't have these really strong opinions in one way or the other, or am I right because I don't have to say, yes, all of my opinions go on this side or all my opinions go on this side, that I am able to pick and choose. And there's this thing in this country right now where you cannot pick and choose things based on just your personal beliefs and opinions on that one subject, it has to all align with either blue or red. And neither of those sit well with me. And yeah. I'm trying to navigate this. And you and I, kind of part of the reason why we wanted to start this podcast was we wanted to talk about, it is because we wanted to talk about solutions to our 21st century problems. And this is definitely one of those things that you and I have had conversations about prior to this podcast, prior to what happened in Texas last week. And it just seems like every day we get further and further from a solution. And I on the road have just really let myself not have opinions or biases, and I just am trying to, I want to teach other people that, I guess.
Well, yeah, you know, so I think a lot of things. First of all, I think it's an illusion that most people are like super polarized, like in one direction or another. Like, I think there are powerful forces at work in the world that want us all to think that we need to be on one team or the other, and that may want us to think that the other side is, you know, more radical or whatever than we are. But I just don't buy it. I don't believe it. I think there's a whole lot more people, like you said, that are in the middle, and I consider myself in the middle and I think there's a whole lot of people like us who are just looking around going, what happened? Like, why do we have to always be at each other's throats? And I just think that a lot of that is artificial. A lot of that is driven by the algorithms in the social media platforms. I think a lot of it is driven by the corporate media trying to get people to tune in so they can serve their advertisers. And I think it's just, and the political parties, they use that constantly in order to sort of drive people into their camp and to demonize the people in the other camp in order to exert their control bases. And so, you know, I think maybe having that understanding or that belief that it's likely that the person in front of you, whoever that person might be, is not going to have some really sort of out there or completely different belief than you do. Maybe they do, maybe they don't. But I think at first, so then there's the next step after that is to just be honest and open and engaging and talk to people and listen to them, ask them questions, listen carefully to what people have to say, be conscious in the conversation. And there are simple things like repeating back to someone what they said. You know, it sounds sort of really kind of basic and it sounds almost condescending, but it's not. It's really been shown, and I've experienced this in my own interactions, that if you stop and try to say back to somebody what it is that they said, their eyes light up. They're like, wow, you actually heard what I said, you know? And then if there's something that you didn't quite get, they can sort of explain further, or they can clarify what it is that they tried to say if you didn't quite hear them right. And then once you sort of have that established, you can sort of ask for permission to explain what you think or explain what you believe. And, you know, I think consent is actually really important in conversations, just as it is in other interactions. Like, can I just say something here? Like, can I say something that you might not agree with? Or it's like, can I give you a different perspective? 'Cause they're probably not going to say no. Maybe they will. Maybe they'll be like, no, I don't want to hear it. And then you're like, okay, have a nice day. But they're probably going to say, yeah, you know, because you got their attention, right? When you ask that question and they consent, like you have their attention now. And then it's like you can tell them what it is that you think. And the other thing that is also, I think, really important is always making statements with "I believe." So making a statement that is begun with, "Well, I believe that X, Y, and Z, blah, blah, blah." Because when you make an emphatic statement, you better be ready to back it up. And it's very difficult to document or back up. You know, if you're going to have an emphatic statement, that's going to be really something. But if you express it as a belief, then if nothing else, then people can sort of honor the fact that you believe that, like even if they don't believe it themselves. And then also that, like, that's just a good a way of interacting just in general. And then the other thing is that I think that people need to engage in conversations with a truly open mind and be truly open to challenging our own belief systems and our own assumptions, because everyone has sort of deep-seated beliefs and assumptions that we've maybe had our whole lives and that we don't even know why we have those assumptions. But if we're really going to learn something from someone else, and if we're really going to honor and respect them, we need to be ready to receive a challenge to our assumptions and our beliefs. And at the same time, it's good to have convictions. It's good to have well-seated, well-thought-out convictions about the things that you believe. And your own beliefs and your own convictions will be strengthened by allowing other people to challenge them in a respectful way and in a productive way. Because, you know, if your beliefs can't stand up to a healthy challenge, then maybe that tells you something about your beliefs. And good, strong, even good, strong faith from a spiritual or religious context. Faith is stronger after questions have been asked and challenges have been made. And so, you know, we've all been exposed to so much, I'm going to say it, propaganda. We've been exposed to so much propaganda in the last 2 years, coming from all directions, all sides. I think we've all been brainwashed in to some extent and in some way or another. And the only way that I believe we can hope as a society to sort of cut through and see the truth is to deprogram ourselves. You know, we're the only ones who can convince ourselves of anything, really. You know, if you're not open to hearing what other people have to say, they're not going to convince you of anything. Like, we need to take that first step to allow ourselves to be open to new ideas and new concepts.
Yes, absolutely. I think that social media in itself has been one of the biggest catalysts for that, because you can just write your comment and it can be just 100% your own opinion and then not go back and actually listen to what the, or read what the replies were, take them into consideration. Everybody is capable of being a, as I like to call them, a keyboard warrior. But yet we don't take the time to read everyone else's responses, and it's just made this kind of like artificial relationship, which is actually a lack of relationship, I think. Right. And so it's like we got to bring it back to the basics and meet each other in real life and have those conversations versus, you know, just giving our opinion and then getting out of it. Like that's not the real work that needs to be done. And I see it even, you know, within families on Facebook, just tearing each other down over opinions. And it's like, we've got to get back to a place where we have real world interactions and real world experiences. And, you know, I just, I'm not sure how we get there, but that's what we're here to talk about. And I definitely feel like one of those things is by getting out of your comfort zone, interacting with people that have different opinions than you do. You know, I find myself having very different opinions than a lot of the people that I grew up with. And I found myself having a hard time, you know, having productive conversations. And I don't think it was because of the other people. I think I thought that their beliefs or biases were so far one way that I couldn't see that maybe they weren't. So like you said, we've got to start with ourselves. And you may feel like other people aren't open to hearing your opinions, but I think a lot of people are having these same thoughts and same conversations with people that they are conversing with. And if we just can figure out a way to bring that all together, that we will just be a step further in solving, you know, all of these problems that we're having such a hard time coming together on.
Yeah. And there are some really great efforts out there trying to address this. Have you ever heard of the group Braver Angels by any chance?
I've not heard of them.
Yeah, well, so it's a group that started in, I think it was 2016. It was kind of in response to just how insane that election was. And it's, you can check out our website, braverangels.org. But it's a national nonprofit group that is all about facilitating conversation between what they call reds and blues. So people generally on the right and people generally on the left, and helping them to connect with each other in a very human way and to understand each other's perspectives. They host debates on a regular basis, but they have a very different way of holding a debate. The intention of a debate is to thoroughly understand an idea from all sides. And so no one ever wins a Braver Angels debate, but instead you have a time where people from different perspectives express themselves completely and fully, and they ask each other questions and respond to them. It's pretty fascinating. That's just one example. There's a bunch of different groups out there that are doing this bridge building work. Because it seems like when you think about and talk about 21st century solutions, a lot of what we're dealing with is how do we interact with each other as people? So, you know, we've just spent 2 years of deliberately going online and, you know, doing social distancing and physical isolation. And so a lot of our interactions are online. We're only beginning to interact again in person. But at the same time, we have all of these major polarizing kinds of difficult issues. And if we're constantly only retreating to our one side or our one tribe or our one belief system, how can we expect to address the large issues of the day? I really think that when we look at and understand other people's perspective, we get to seeing common ground and common solutions. We can start to find ways to work together, because compromise,
yes.
Compromise used to be a good thing. Like, oh, let's compromise. And now it's like, no, compromise.
Yes, absolutely. And I think a really powerful comparison of this is one of conversation from last week's episode that, you know, we work in an industry, solar, which has lots of people have opinions on, and we feel like it's a 21st century solution, but there are definitely people out there who don't feel like it's a 21st century solution. And even people in within the industry can say, we know it cannot all be about solar right now, that we have to get to a place where, you know, we're still using fossil fuels and all and every type of energy and fuel to get to where we want to be in the future. And so, like Lester was giving the example that he has a guy who works for Exxon and is in the oil industry. And got solar, like that is just right there in itself is open-mindedness, and like that I don't need to just support my own industry. I can support furthering this other industry, which really is the same industry. But a lot of people just don't like to look at it that way, you know? And so I felt like that last week's episode really kind of rolls into this week's episode with that that exact example right there, is that we really can work together. You know, it doesn't have to be us against them, that we can say, yes, we still need these things, but we can do these things as well to further our society. And so,
yeah, that's a great example. And I think I want to go back to something that you said, which is like that question of like, how do I find the right information? How do I find true information? Or, you know, because I really don't know of any completely trustworthy kinds of outlets. And what I mean by that is, 50 years ago, there used to be at least the perception that, you know, you could trust the nightly news and that everyone listened to the nightly news and they listened to the same news. But now that really is not the case. Everyone has their own version of the nightly news. But I do want to say a few things about that. We all need to be journalists in a way. Like that, in the sense that we need to look at information that we get very skeptically. We need to look at it. We need to read it. If we're looking at an article online, we need to look for the sources. We need to click the links. We need to try to get to the source documents. We need to see, okay, was this actually published somewhere other than where we're seeing it now? Can I independently get to the source that they're claiming this came from? Can I find it myself? You know, if you see, let's say, a video snippet, if you come across a video snippet of something, try and find the original that it came from. Look at what happened in the minute before whatever that snippet was. Look at what happens in the minute or two after the snippet. Try to get the context, because part of how we all get manipulated by the information that we come across is by taking it out of context, or you know, changing one or two words, or snipping something off, or pasting something in. We've gotten to the point where we can't trust the things that we see at face value. And it's for two reasons, or at least two reasons. You know, I believe the mainstream sources that perhaps once were trustworthy are now beholden to their corporate advertisers and their narratives and their political objectives. So they're less trustworthy. Meanwhile, we have a whole crop of independent news outlets and just bloggers, you know, people who are posting on a variety of platforms. Some of them are great, and some of them have extremely high standards. Some of them are not. Some of them are going to repost anything that they see. And so now the responsibility has gotten back to us as individuals to really filter, really research, really discern what it is that makes sense, what is plausible, what is provable, what is true, because there are so many things out there that people are claiming, and we've gotten to the point where we're almost living simultaneously in multiple different realities. People understand the world so much differently now. It's almost like we're living in different realities.
Yep, absolutely.
You know, that something can happen, like an actual thing can happen, and it's measured, it can be recorded, it can be filmed, it can be recorded, it can be measured, it can be described. But different people standing from different places can see different things. And when they describe what they see, if they describe it differently, then you've got two different versions of what happened. And if people are only noticing certain details and not others, and they're describing that, then those are different things. And if people only hear certain things that someone says and they didn't hear the whole story, you know, it's not hard to see how an actual thing can happen, but completely different interpretations of the same event can be recorded. And that's dangerous in and of itself. So
yes, it's like we're living in a live game of telephone.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. And there's so many freaking phones in this world now.
Yes, exactly. Yes. And I think as a banker at heart, you know, I've been in the banking world for a long time, and this is something that we're trained on probably before you even get to step foot out on a branch floor, is if you are ever robbed, which, you know, hopefully you're not, but it can happen, and so you're trained on it. The first thing that they do is they separate everyone to make sure that you're not having conversations and you're not misremembering from what someone else told you. And so that is like the number one thing that they the first thing you do if you go through a robbery, all of the witnesses and people involved are separated. That way, when the police get there and they're filling out their statements and everything, you haven't had conversations about it. Someone hasn't said, oh, he was wearing a blue hat, when in your mind he was wearing a green hat. Mm-hmm. And so they're not. So it's like we need to do that with the whole world. The whole world needs robbery training.
Well, there you have it, folks. There's your 21st century solution. We need robbery training.
Yes.
Oh, man. Well, I'm starting to feel better. You know, I just so value even being able to talk about this. And I hope that you and all the others who are out there listening can get from this that maybe people are not so different, and maybe those people who are on the other side of the line from me are not so unapproachable, because if we're going to make progress and headway in the 21st century, we're going to need to work together to do it.
Yes, absolutely. I'm 100% agree. I hope that we can continue to do episodes where we just have open and honest conversations, to just really get down to the nitty gritty of why are we as a society just so, I would say the word is volatile right now, towards each other, and when really we, a lot of the times, I mentioned this to you earlier, I feel like we are saying the same things, we just cannot hear that one word is different, that it makes the whole thing sound different. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, I'm feeling better too. I have hope. I don't think after last week, I plan on putting my kids back in public school. I don't want to make a joke about that, but I really, you know, I've had a lot of ups and downs the last few months, and one of those things that has been weighing heavy on my heart is just, it's taking my kids out of school and interacting on a daily basis, you know, with 25 other kids in their classroom and 150 other kids in their own grade, you know, that I just feel like until we have solutions, I have to protect my family. And but you know what I don't do? I don't disparage my friends or my coworkers or even strangers on the street who do send their kids to public school because that's what's right for their family. So,
yeah.
You know, just I really am hopeful that that we all can just start to work together on all of these major things that are going on in the world.
Well, let's end where we began with our heartfelt feelings and prayers for the families and everyone who were affected by that tragedy and all similar tragedies.
Yes, absolutely. Our hearts are with them. And I hope that we can allow them healing and time and grace to grieve and, you know, and not put our opinions in there and talk about them poorly. That's really, really weighing heavy on me. And I hope as well as I know you do that, that we can just give each other some space and understanding.
Absolutely. Have a great rest of your day, Kaylin. We'll talk to you later.
All right. Thank you for a great episode, Ramsey.
Right on. You too. Bye-bye.